I know what I know. Now you know what you know.
I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hey, welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast, season three.
Four.
Is it three?
Four.
Oh, jeez. Season four, episode nine. I did get that right, correct?
You did. Yeah, I got the episode number. We just don't have the number of years.
Yes. You know, this season started where people are watching many games on Live Barn.
Gorgeous.
On Pano mode.
Yeah,
one of the worst experiences you could possibly have. I'm not saying that I might have experienced this myself this weekend or anything, but it's that type of year, time of year, and with that, we have many, many topics to cover this season.
Hey, you know, Coach, my team actually has their own YouTube channel, and you have to when I say my team, of course, it's my daughter's team.
Yeah.
You actually can subscribe because they know they hate Hockey Barn or whatever Live Barn so much that they have a channel and you have to subscribe to it. I think you have to pay for premium in order to get it.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think so. Yeah. But I might dump Live Barn. I'll see how it goes. I want to see how well they do. But the Lions AAA team has their own YouTube channel. And I don't know.
And how do they do this? Do they have a parent going out and streaming, or is there someone that actually works for the Kings?
I have no idea. This? Yeah, I did hear there's going to be commentary. So obviously, it's got to be somebody that knows the team pretty well. Mm-hmm. So we'll wait and see. Okay,
this is common.
Updates will follow.
Because you know, I got an email that Shattuck is starting Shattuck TV for the hockey season. And another team, I forgot what team, it may have been the Carolina Junior Hurricanes, sent out an email saying that they're starting Hurricane TV too. So a lot of people are breaking away.
Well, that Pano thing just isn't quite as satisfying as Dave would want it to be. So I think Pano may be the reason. But
there's a lot afoot with these, you know, with youth hockey broadcasting, no doubt. You know, for example, if your kid happens to be playing tier two hockey, Hockey TV, I believe, is been acquired and is now being, or maybe I've got this wrong. If your kid's in the NAL, then you're pretty much.
Let's start a rumor, Coach. No matter whether it's right or not, just start a rumor. You know, just say it's been acquired by Nestle, and they're going to give free cocoa out to everyone.
Yeah,
I think
that
what
would
I mean?
Be nice.
Just do it.
That would be nice.
Just do it.
And you know, Nestle has got a big headquarters in Glendale, not far from where we are. So, you know, the Nestle company, quite an employer out here in Glendale. But anyway, well, something's happened. I believe that's correct. Hockey TV has been absorbed into a new company. I bring this up because, of course, when I was in Boston and my kid was playing in a tournament at a place where there's some Live Barn coverage, it was blacked out because it was on Hockey TV, which, you know, or this other thing now. So a lot of things changing, but it is interesting to me that if your kid's playing in the NAL, you're going to subscribe to NAL TV. If your kid is playing in, now I don't know about USHL. I know a lot of their stuff gets broadcast. Maybe that was on the Hockey TV outlet. And then of course we got Live Barn, and it does seem to indicate. Oh, one other thing I was going to bring up about Live Barn, they offered this new service now where they will use some analysis software, and you can pay them. I don't know what the cost is because I haven't really looked into it, but
I saw that too. I saw exactly what you're going with.
And it will sit there and go through the game and use this soft analytics software and provide you a bunch of statistics for your kid. Now, how Live Barn is able to do this with the horrendous quality of service that they are known for. Literally this morning I was trying to watch my son's game. This rink actually did have the auto follow mode. It didn't work. As soon as you would go into it, it would instantly disconnect you, or it would freeze. And so I had to watch this in panel again. But, you know, some of these rinks, like, you're looking, you got to zoom in and manually move the camera around so you can even see remotely what might be happening down at the one end of the rink. So it's just not great. But yeah, I mean, I guess technology is catching up with this, and people are realizing, I guess, that there's investment to be made and money to be made. And I kind of wonder too about the funding of something like NAHL TV, because I got to think that, you know, if your kid's playing in the NAHL, this is the only way you're going to be able to watch them other than being, you know, live, seeing them at a rink. That, you know, yeah, your kid's playing tier two, so they're not paying, but all those families are paying for NAHL TV, I would guarantee you. So
anyway. I do want to say, David, we did try that service that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And in true a Live Barn fashion, turns out that Maggie played 100% of the game and scored all the goals.
Are you serious? Like, you actually... No. Tried one?
No, I'm just guessing. I was willing. I just wanted to go out on a limb.
I thought you were going to tell me, like, didn't work for crap. And totally wrong and incorrect stats. And
you know me, Coach. I'm always willing to stir the pot a little bit. And Live Barn, I'm sorry I just said bad things about you. I don't know. I don't know if it works or not. But I do love the idea that, I don't know, Coach. It said that she played the entire game, scored all the goals. So, 100% of the game. So, I don't know.
I would love for somebody who has actually taken them up on this to let us know.
Youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, please email us.
@gmail.com.
If anyone has done this, I'd love to see if this works worth a damn.
Yeah, it seems like you're going to get video back and it's not your kid you're watching.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know how they would resolve something like this first weekend where my kid played and there was... they didn't have their jerseys yet, so they were playing in practice jerseys, and there was multiple kids with the same number. They have no names on them.
No, they can't do that. I'm sure Live Barn's not that. They're not going to be able to do that.
I'm pretty sure all it's doing is just somehow trying to figure out numbers. But yeah, I think it's got to be more than that, though, because you know, half the time
they might tag each
jersey
kid
tucked in, and you can't see his number anyway.
They might tag each kid with a individual radio isotope, you know, like an I-125, plutonium, a uranium.
I mean, it's probably facial recognition. It's doing a, you know, some kind of mapping. And
don't be ridiculous, Coach. I'm certain it's radio isotope work. I'm absolutely certain.
Now that you mention that, there was that guy injecting things into kids as they came into the ring.
That's a totally different thing. That's called steroids, Coach. We can talk about those on another game. I mean, if you want to talk about those, the roids.
Oh, so that was, you think that was the guy? He's juicing everyone on the team?
Exactly. Well, you need that edge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit big in Russia, I hear. But
I don't know if I want to piss off the Russians, Coach.
They
invade a lot of places they don't like. So I'm gonna stay away from that. But go ahead.
You're not anywhere near the Eastern Bloc.
Coach Ralston would like to say all of our friends in Russia, Strasvichye, please, не стреляйте myself. Please.
Hey, listen, my son has lots of Russian and Ukrainian teammates in the last couple of years. So, and he's picked up a fair number of Russian phrases that are quite colorful.
Good for him.
I will say that. Yeah.
I know.
So one day we can bring him on and he can he can get us banned in any of those markets where they speak those languages.
The Slavic markets are we, by the way, we're like very high up in the Slavic markets, I've heard. So
people don't know that this is one of your expertises.
I haven't checked in years.
any of our former Russian I don't know what those languages were you were speaking with some people.
Kazakhstan, please give me a call, Kazakhstan. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Youth Hockey Podcast, all the Baltic Republics, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, please give me a call. Youth Hockey Podcast.
And I think we could reveal that, Randy, that you are actually doing translations. You're actually going back.
I've started doing that.
Translating them and
translating them into other
look
languages.
For that soon,
please. Estonian is taking me a while to learn. I'm sorry, guys, but I'll try to have it by next Christmas.
And another new thing. But speaking of Randy, you have a topic for us today that I know a lot of people have been thinking about, talking about. It's a worm in their minds, and you're here to address it. So please, take us forward with this topic.
So let me walk you down a kind of memory lane here just for a second. So I am at my computer. I'm looking through the emails for the week, and one email catches my eye. And it's because it's a topic that's very close to my heart. I'm wearing a sweater vest combo, some nice slacks, just if you want to picture it. So I get
you didn't
email.
Have a blazer with those
no like, corduroy pants. Yeah, corduroy but pack. I was holding a pipe, and okay. I wasn't lighting the pipe because I can't breathe in things and not choke. So mm-hmm. anyway, so this gentleman was asking me about the road to girls hockey and where does it start and what is the kind of best pathway forward to get onto a good team and get your girl lined up in the best way to move her forward in a game that we can all agree is pretty well male dominated, but it's the girls' sport is an elegant and beautiful one itself. And the girls who want to play, I find her driven and interesting young ladies. And so I always want to be on their side when a topic like this comes up. So I'm just going to take you down memory lane a little bit and tell you how we did it. And if you guys ever want to jump in, please do. And let me know if you think there are better decisions that could be made. I'm sure there were, but this is the way we started. We started by telling her that we did not want her to play hockey. You know, like I was like, no, sweetie, you know, you can play soccer. You can play soccer. Soccer's a great sport. We'd just come off two boys playing hockey. And I don't know if you know what kind of ding that puts in your wallet. Either of you have kids that play hockey?
We have no idea what you're talking about.
No.
Luckily, no.
No, okay. So we were coming off that. We were feeling pretty stung by the whole experience. And so we were just like, okay, Maggie will learn to skate because she loves to skate with her brothers. And she loved skating down at the Bears, by the way. They had a little youth program, which was called the Bear Cubs. And when her brother was skating, she skated. Loved it. Put her dress on, tucked it into her butt protector, and then slapped it out. And when she came off, she just pulled her butt protector down, and boom, her skirt came right out. Totally cute. But she learned to skate, and she spent a lot of time on it. But she played soccer almost exclusively through age, I guess, 10. At which point, soccer became too hot. We're in California. I don't know if you know this thing that they're talking about, global warming. Anyone heard about that?
No.
Okay. No.
It feels like a whole nother thing we should talk about.
Big deal in the valleys, by the way. Big deal. Very hot. She didn't like it, but she still loved playing team sport. So team sport, we immediately, you know, like soccer was kind of wearing down. And we were, and by the way, soccer girls get really kind of futzy right around age 10 because they start getting, like last episode, people start, you know, like, oh, I'm not on a good enough team. I need to go over here and I don't want to play with my friends. I want to play with good people. And I'm like, oh God, not these people. I want to go to hockey where those people don't exist.
Yeah.
Insert laughter there. Yeah, exactly. No, I know. But I didn't know that. I thought maybe a girl's teams were different, although it was kind of silly looking back on it. And so we put her on a B team. First team she ever played on. She was playing in-house fairly consistently. And I honestly think that girls can play in-house, especially if you have a good program at a nearby rink. Girls can play in-house without checking and learn a lot. Boys can as well. Obviously, your kids played in-house a bit. But I really think the girls that played in-house, because they were playing against faster boys or sometimes older boys, I really saw a fire get lit underneath my daughter when she realized that the competition from the boys was so intense. And so I think it really pushed her forward into what she was doing. We played on a B team. It was a team that had only like 10 players and two of them were girls, and they made a lady line out of this Pee-wee B team. And out of the year,
let me just ask you a quick question about that though.
Yeah.
Now, how did they fill out the lady line if by your description there was only two girls on the team?
Two girls and my daughter. So obviously
I see. So there was actually three. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, in total there were three. Thank you, coach.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. So they did. They had a full girls line, and the girls line did really well together. They played together probably better than any of the boys lines. And so they would always get matched up with the top line, or not always, but they often got matched up against the top line of the other team and took the pressure off the other boys. And I think we won 11 straight by the end of the year. And we had a coach, a young coach, who treated everybody like they were all, you know, like really, you know, she was very supportive, but he was not the kind of coach that was like, oh, you can't do this, you're a girl. He was very much, you're all hockey players, we're all going to do this together and we're going to have a great time. And so my daughter kind of, she still really loves that coach. Young kid. I think he's doing boys hockey now. I think he's doing tier.
I mean, he sounds like the perfect coach.
Oh, he was a good coach. You know, he was a little, you know, like, you know, you could tell that he was, when people didn't try very hard, he was frustrated by it. He wasn't like, you know, like Mr. Rogers. He was like, you know, he'd like walk out and he'd be like, oh, I'm so frustrated at Johnson. And he wouldn't say it to Johnson, but he'd be like, oh man, I wish I could get Johnson to move his butt. And I'm like, yeah, I know Johnson isn't moving his butt, but he'll get there, coach. He'll get there. So right. He was a little, because he's young, he was a little bit, you know, he wasn't super supportive, but Maggie thought he was just the best. And the next year, she went from B to AA. And that was a huge transition. And she had a boys AA team and a boys AA coach. And I can tell you, people that have girls out there, be very careful up in the peewee ranks, because I've had people come to me and say that their girls, you know, they would fake orgasm noises when the girls would come into the room because they were, you know, because they were girls, or they would change their, you know, like if you were blue and the girl came in blue, all the boys would change to yellow if that were the color scheme, you know. And I had that
experience. Well, that was a particularly toxic team, which
does
indicate that there's, yeah. You know, because my son played with girls all the way up into Bantam, through AA, on a number of teams, and definitely at the younger age, he had girls on his team. I want to say, in Pee Wee, both years, I think. I mean, we were on those teams, so
yeah.
And I not at Valencia. Okay, 1 year. So anyway, I want to ask you though, like one of the things that does make it particularly difficult when your daughter is playing on primarily a boys team is the whole logistical thing of a lot of, I don't know if have they gotten any better with this, because a lot of rinks, they barely have the facilities to just deal with the teams that they have coming in. So a lot of times you've got these poor girls dressing in a bathroom or in, you know, some like a closet, like a janitor's closet. It's ridiculous.
No, we definitely have that all the way through. Yes. You know, or they go in and dress with the boys. And that's where some things, obviously you have to know that the coach has got your back, is all I would say to girls' parents. You need to talk to the coach beforehand and say, are you going to be, you know, like lay it on the line that there is absolutely no being disrespectful and unkind because this is a girl on a boys team. If you don't have somebody that's going to lay it out for you, don't join the team. If they just say, yeah, we just need you for a line to fill out a line. A girl is not just somebody that fills out a line on a boys team. There are way too many things going on that can go wrong. I believe, again, I don't treat girls differently, but I do believe that if you have a toxic situation, or if you have a couple of toxic kids, having a girl introduced will lead to worse problems. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And if the team, I'm not trying to, you know, diminish what you were saying, because you told me that story, and that's just egregious, that, you know, you're relating a story of someone, you know, and you've told me a lot of the details, even worse than you've let on here. And it was outrageous. And only thing I do recall at the time was just thinking to myself, well, at that age group, though, I know plenty of stories where boys were mercilessly bullied. So the fact that it was a girl in this case,
I'm still like bullying. You have to have a zero tolerance policy.
Yeah,
for
no,
boys
and
girls. Yeah, so I mean,
that's supposed to be taken care of by a lot of the rules that they put into play, where locker rooms have to have an attendee. Now, I will say for hockey, part of the problem is that a lot of this attendance stuff ends up being basically put on parents to have to volunteer. And the reality is that very few parents want to volunteer because there's a bunch of red tape involved with it. Or, I mean, it's very reasonable. I understand, but you have to go through Safe Sport. You have to pay for a background check yourself. And so a lot of parents are just like, you know what? I'm already paying for this. I'm not going to do that. So next thing you know, you don't have a quorum of parents. And so I'm just bringing up that, you know, Randy, you're letting people know, hey, listen, man, all it takes is one or two times when the locker room's left unattended for some really nasty stuff to go on.
Well, I could tell you, Dave, it's not always just when the locker room's unattended. Some of the parents are the problem. Some of the parents don't think a girl should be playing on the boys' team, or don't believe that she should have been let onto the boys' team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I 100%
agree. So like every once in a while, you'll be saying, "Oh, we need to have somebody responsible to be, you know, kind of guiding these people." And you'll hear stories about one of the dad just like, "I don't understand why she's there at all." And I'll be like, "Oh, great."
No, that's 90% of the time. Yeah. That's where it comes from. Yeah. Kids learn from their parents.
Yeah.
So but the thing is, you can't fix that. You can't fix everybody else's problems and everybody else's stupidity.
The coach can sit somebody down, though. The coach has got all the authority to say, if you act like a jackass, you're sitting down.
You're right. And that's the problem. Sometimes the coach, the people that are doing it are best friends with the coach.
No,
and
that's what I'm saying. That's why you have to look as an advocate. You have to look at the coach and make sure he's an advocate for girls hockey. If he or she is not, and usually it's a he, let's face it, then just walk away. It's not, you know, you don't have to make decisions based on, I'll lose out. We went to some of the teams that we played for were not top notch teams. And I think she still grew a lot in those years. So rather than looking for people who've got a great reputation as hockey coaches, look for people who have great reputations as girls hockey coaches as well. You know, like,
well, would you say, this is occurring to me now, but when we get right down to it, as the parent of a boy, I feel like you don't really have to do as much due diligence, but it's almost like you're saying, hey, as the parent of the girl, it's not fair, but the reality is you want to really adequately protect your child. You've got to go and have a heart to heart before the season even starts and get a real good feel of who is this person that I'm going to be entrusting my daughter to.
I get it. Lance used to do that with the coaches for his boys, didn't you, Lance? I mean, didn't you? Lance had a pretty strict screening regimen, as I recall.
Yeah, hey, everyone needs to have a strict screening regimen, don't you think?
No, that's where I got it from.
Realistically, it's not as easy, and a lot of people don't look at sports that way. I mean, I feel like they're talking to their kids and they sort of have an idea, but for a lot of people, like they don't feel like they're in the driver's seat of this stuff. Especially when you go to an organization, your kids trying out, make a team. You're happy to have made a team in a
exactly.
lot of cases.
Yes. And so you get caught up in the jubilance of the moment. And we got,
but as a daughter, or as a father of a daughter, it's almost like I'm thinking what you're really saying is like that, hey, you can't sit back. You've got to take that extra step. And even though it's going to sort of put you in an uncomfortable position where you might feel like, hey, I'm sticking my neck out here and potentially being read as a potentially problematic parent, but you kind of need to know, like,
Who is this person? I'm not going to let my daughter go through a bunch of silliness coming from boys in the locker room or a guy coach that has a lot of machismo or something like that, that makes her feel bad about herself. I would rather, like last episode, drop the sport entirely than have my little girl feel like she is being, you know, harassed or bullied. It just isn't worth it.
Right.
There are too many things going on in the world. I do have one more thing to say because I didn't get this out. We had an excellent experience on our Pee-wee team. So like when I said, you have to go up and you have to talk to people and kind of make that thing. We were very lucky. The boys there were some really stand-up kids. And you could tell they welcomed her and they seemed to really bond with her. Like she was changing out in the lobby, which is what Coach was saying. And she did for 3 weeks. And then all the boys came out and they dragged her into the locker room and they said, please, Maggie, come and dress, you know, dress in the locker room with us. And it could have been, you know, it could have been a bad thing. You know, but Maggie really felt like that meant that they really liked her and really appreciated, you know, her being around. And so she felt really, really good. And she was like, oh, Dad, look what they did. You know, they're and I said, like, OK, sweetie, you can go in the locker room. And, you know, as long as nothing wrong happens, you have to tell me when anybody says anything that makes you uncomfortable. But if that's what they all want, they all want you in there, then dad's OK with it.
Yeah, it's like, boy, you got to. I mean, at least with my boys, and it's different with having a daughter, but, you know, we've had a lot of talks about what's appropriate, not what's appropriate. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
They need to know, hey, look, if something's going on, you got to tell us. Can't.
Yeah. No,
you
we got.
Can't fall victim to some of these coaches who's like, hey, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. You know, that's to me, that's a bunch of crap.
We were very fortunate, and she got to be around boys that I thought were treating her in a very like a sportsmanlike way. They loved, you know, they were really, you know, people were like asking to be on her line and stuff, like, you know, she knew that because, you know, she was playing well as well. So that helped. You know, I know this is weird, but if you have a girl that's playing way below the level of the boys, you're going to have a real hard time, I think. So always shoot a little bit, I don't know, I want to say low, but I do not push your girl up amongst a group of kids that don't think she belongs there. And even if it is, you know, I know it's wrong that you have to worry about that, but I've heard stories, and I'm like, from my perspective, it is very important to judge the level of your daughter. Put her where she will be seen as someone who the boys can all, you know, that someone that is on the same level as the boys on her team, and they can earn a mutual respect rather than having to, you know, constantly fight to get the respect that I think a lot of these girls deserve.
Yeah. Well, long before you even had the thought that you would do a podcast about youth hockey, we knew each other, and I just wonder if you recall what I used to say to you about your child and my prognostications about where she might go in the game of hockey. Just curious if
Coach, you know everything. That's not fair. Just because you're going to show off now, but yes. Coach can tell you, you know, like those machines that'll tell you like your future. Coach can tell you the future potential of your child within 10 seconds of watching them on the ice. That's just what can do.
The only thing I said was, I've seen this story before. And when you've got the daughter and she's got the two older brothers who both played hockey, and they're both, you know, the type of brothers that really are looking out for their little sister and yet also sort of involving her, and she's looking at them and they're providing the model, and just your son spent many hours on the ice in sort of recreational hockey situations, stick times and whatnot, essentially coaching her.
They grab her and take her to the gym every day that she can do gym stuff with them, you know.
It's not a surprise, and she has that innate athleticism and everything, you know, and the multiple sports. You guys just did everything, and no shock now. She's one of the best young women playing hockey in the LA area at her age, no doubt about it. I wanted to bring that out. There's some things there. I think there is a huge advantage in if you have a daughter, I'd say this to anybody, in having them play hockey. There's a lot of opportunity. There's far fewer young women playing hockey than there are men, and there's scholarships to be had and all sorts of opportunities out there. It's not a sure thing, but,
you have to be willing to play the long game. That's exactly
if you're willing to play the long game, and they love the sport and they're enjoying it and feeling good about their participation in it, have them play with the boys as much as you can, you know, safely, and all the great, you know, advice you're providing.
Through Pee Wee is what I would say personally, but
certainly through Pee Wee.
Yeah.
Some girls can get, can continue up into Bantam if they can figure out a way to do it. I'm not going to say one versus the other.
Oh, absolutely, Coach. I
do whatever you feel
whatever works for your daughter is fine with me. I just say up until Pee Wee, I think it's an easy choice. I think they play with the boys most of the time. After Pee Wee, I think it gets to be a more difficult choice.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Once hitting starts, and you know, I've seen some things where young women were put in a position that was not great for them, and it's about that age when the whole reversal sort of happens, where girls are getting up to where they're being outgrown by the boys, and the testosterone's kicking in, and everything's happening there. It really starts to become a very unlevel playing field. And I will also say, to be I feel like you gotta be entirely fair. There's great advantage to having your daughter play with the boys. It's the opposite. I literally feel like it's a no-win situation. Now I think that if a girl is good enough to do it, then can contribute positively and be a competitive player, they should have the same, you know, chances as anybody else to do this. But we also should acknowledge that the reality is coaches are telling the boys, whatever you do, don't do this. Don't be the guy that goes and crushes that girl on the other team. It's not quite the same as taking it easy, but it's, you know, be cognizant of the fact of who you're playing for. And so they are, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, most coaches, if they're not complete troglodytes, they don't want to be the coach of the team that had the kid that went and just, creamed a girl that weighs, you know, 35 pounds less than the kid on their team.
I got breaking news here for you, Dave. There's a lot of those situations I have seen. So you're saying that the coach.
No, well, there's a lot of bad, dumb coaches.
There are a lot of coaches out there that would love to see, especially if the girl's scoring and showing them up. I've seen girls get targeted. You say they don't get targeted. They get anti-targeted.
No, I'm saying they're getting the. I'm saying that the boys don't have. There is. It's a no win for them.
Have seen girls get targeted because they are girls too.
Yeah, well,
you'll have to agree. You'll have to understand that as a father.
You've got more experience with this. I have seen a lot of girls' games, maybe more than others. I was my kid was at a program for a whole year that had a really big girls' program, and you know, I could tell you like how my son used to feel about being on the ice with girls, and his attitude about it was not always the most positive. Nothing to say that he was like he disliked or had any animosity or anything negative to say about the girls that were on his team or girls that he would play against, but I'm just saying that Yeah, it's you know, I'm sort of restating, like, because I recall, for example, a year where we had a pretty good team at Bantam. Our sons were both on the same team, Randy, and they happened to play they were playing double A, and they played a triple A girls team from the age above, which is used to be a pretty common thing. And it was a very close game. And I believe my recollection is it was a tie. Now, of course, the rule set was changed for them because they're Bantams. And in this game, the rule set was you got to play no check because you're playing a girls team and they don't play check hockey. So it's no check. So again, coming into that, not to deny that those young women were very, very good hockey players. And we had a really solid team. Like, I look at that team and think about all the kids that were on there. Most of them have continued to play hockey. It was a very, very strong team. And they were tied by this team of women, just, you know, one age group above theirs. So they were BAM. So this was like a, you know, I think it was a 16 year U or something, triple A team. If that sounds right. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. And
they were 14 U. So, you know, how did they feel? It wasn't great. It wasn't great to be tied by a girls team, even though they were older and a different tier.
Lance, are you still on the program? Or I'm just asking because I don't even know if Lance is hooked in. Is your mic working, man?
It works perfectly. I just have women.
So
I had that experience, you know.
I mean, maybe what I'm just saying is I'm just trying to provide a little of the psychology so that people can think about, you know, if you have a daughter, what are other people thinking? And maybe, you know, this is this can also reflect, you know, how soon you want to make the decision to move your daughter into, you know, playing the women's game versus keeping them in with the boys.
Well, it isn't also the girls' fault that they were playing against the boys. That was Kaha's idea. You know, I mean, you
know, Randy. That's not my point.
I'm just saying, you know, it is best if the girls play girls. I would agree at that age. But you're asking me for the 14-year-old boys that tied the thing. And I'm like,
I'm not asking you to feel sorry for them at all.
Okay. They deserve.
Let me state it again.
Please do, Coach.
If they won, they didn't win. If they lost, they lost. If they tied, they didn't win. There was no winning for them. If your boys are expected to be better than the girls, it's a no win situation. So don't be surprised if some bad things occur because of that. It doesn't mean that all these boys are, because you even said yourself, like, if you know, that you can get a boy upset if a girl shows him up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you can get a boy upset if another boy shows him up.
I've had what that happens happen too. Yes,
a lot of coaches look at it as get gritty, get competitive. You're gonna let that guy do that to you? Knock him on his ass. That's I've heard this, you know, since I was a kid. Get physical. Well, there's a point at which you got to realize that's the nature of hockey. At the point where the checking starts, and every year beyond that, you're taking a chance. But again, if I had a daughter, I would still I'd be on the fence, keep her in there as long as she could do it safely. And by the way, you know, we had this conversation this year and you guys made the decision not to have her go into check. And I actually was going to ask you, since maybe you could just say, was there something that where you kind of like made your thought went, yeah, just going to do the girls this year, or were you still sort of on the fence, or was, you know, how did that actually end up being the decision you made for this year?
There was a lot on the fence because she really liked the boys team that she left. And many of them were still playing up at the Flyers. And she really likes the coach of the Flyers. In fact, you know, there were a lot of they tried to get her an exemption so she could play on both teams. I was behind my daughter, and my daughter made the decision that she didn't want to play checking hockey. If she had been allowed to play on two teams, then there would have been an interesting decision to make. I probably would have told her to move to defense and play checking hockey with the boys if she felt comfortable after a few games into the season.
Yeah, that's an interesting an interesting element to it too, because every girl that played with my son was a defense.
Yeah, player. I would have had her play. I probably, and you know, there's no safe position on the hockey rink, but she would probably have made the switch back to defense, is what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's true. Although, yeah, because I mean, newsflash for people, I'm guessing most people know this, but at that age, something changes in strategically with most coaches, which is that the expectation is that the F1 player should start to quote unquote hit, check, get physical on the forecheck. And yeah. So if it's a daughter, that's a tough message to deliver. Hey, get in there and if you're F1, I want you to cream that guy as they go behind and force a turnover.
If you're 5'7" and you're a daughter and you lift, I think you might be able to do it better than my daughter, who's 5'2". You know, that's the thing. My
it's something that I think the women's game, you know, because they don't have that, that's not allowable in the rule set.
Correct.
Then the strategy needs to be different.
Yes. No, it totally stunts your growth. At a certain point, the boys' game stunts your growth because you'll go across that blue line and you will be looking to pass because you think you're about to get hit, but you're not going to get hit in the girls' game. And if you want to make a move, you can chip it up the boards and keep going. Whereas the boards, they're going to take you out. And you don't have that move. There is a little bit of strategy and a little bit of, you know, I think it does kind of slow your growth a little bit if you play the boys.
It's just a different set of strategies.
And exactly.
And your mechanics and everything are going to be applied in a different game to have a different way to be successful. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, you kind of bring up a point that there's something to the fact that you're going to be playing a slightly different version of the game, and you should start getting coaches that are and being in a position where you're focused on how to be successful at that versus playing this other version of the game that's not the same thing at all.
There's so many things that are similar, Coach. You know, the learning to skate, learning to transition, learning how to, you know, there are so many things that do add up to.
Just data I have of what I've seen personally that, you know, a lot of the women that do stay in the boys game longer, they do matriculate up. But I mean, I guess it goes back to the defense versus offense.
I totally agree.
More young women playing defense? Because the defensive game is maybe more similar in the boys and the girls in that they're having to deal with retrieving pucks, having pressure on them, you know, initiating the breakout, getting up the ice, all those type of things are similar in both. Whereas for the boys game, the offensive players are really expected to start hitting.
Also, let's be honest, Coach, the girls are a lot smarter than the boys at that time. So the defense, you know, the defense don't constantly try to take it up and score gloriously like the boys sometimes do. Do you remember that one defender we had that constantly thought that the puck was his and he would turn it over and it would be a goal against us all the
time?
Yeah,
yeah. That's
okay. I mean, you remember this guy. None of the girls are going to do that. All the girls are smart enough to go, okay, there's only one person between me and the goal. I'll just pass it to that person that I'm supposed to pass it to. And that's why girls do well at defense.
Well, that's interesting. Do you think, you're kind of making the point that in a lot of ways, this is a reason why as a coach, you might want to have the girls on your team because they tend to be a little more mature for their age at that point and maybe a little more coachable.
You never can tell, Coach. I haven't coached the game you have. I would have to defer to you on that.
I'd open it up for the audience, especially if we have coaches out there. Maybe there's some that want to say, hey, yeah, I've had a lot of experience with this. And or even coaches that coached boys and girls teams. I'd love to hear.
That's youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well, anyway, do we want to kind of wrap this up? I do want
to
say
love to
topic.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up and continue to represent the light. And, you know, I'm looking forward to more because I think your daughter is going to continue on with this sport. I love to prognosticate and I see great things for her in the future. I hope she continues her love for it. And it's been great to see her become this remarkable player that I've been able to witness personally. And I hope.
Thanks, Coach. That's very
good. More feedback from you in the future.
Well, you know, Randy, here's what I'll contribute is I think that the game has evolved since my boy, you know, it's been what, like 6-7 years. I think the game has evolved though, because when they were going through those stages, the style of hockey and the level of hockey, I don't remember seeing any women hockey players competing on other teams against them, other than possibly, I think there was one goalie, because the game back then was a lot more physical than I think it is today, you know? And I think there was a lot more opportunity for someone to get injured if they weren't ready physically, you know, to compete at that level, you know?
Yeah, it might be true, Coach, or it might be true, Lance. I really don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say this just from what I've witnessed in the last few years. Girls categorically are far more skilled than they used to be from, you know, talking about maybe this period of time that you're talking about, Lance. I saw girls playing, you know, for example, I saw some, you know, pretty high level young women playing at when my son was like 8 to 9 to 10 to 11, you know, cause I would travel back east, see my family. You know, I had family that was coaching, and so I saw more than maybe the average person, and also would have my son do training at some facilities which had a lot of women practicing. And what I've seen in the last few years is, girls suddenly I'm seeing that play hockey and look like. Like if you didn't know, you would have a hard time. All you'd be able to say is, wow, that's a really fast, skilled player who seems to have a real mastery of skating, stick handling, agility, the whole thing. I'm seeing a lot more of this. Maybe I don't know exactly what to attribute to. Maybe it's partially because there's, because of the scholarship situation and the fact that it's a great path to college for a lot of young women. If you get to be good at this sport, there's a lot of opportunity that you can get a, you know, play NCAA hockey with Title IX and everything. But whatever, something's changed. But I also think that, you know, this is definitely a topic that I have on my list, which is what's changed about hockey. So I don't want to, the skills of hockey. So I don't want to like even tip my hat on that at all on this one, but I will just say, the last couple of years, just seeing girls at a whole new level, and that it's not like, hey, that's good. She's good for a girl. This is just, hey, this is girl's good. Like she's really good at hockey, like watching this. So anyway, something's been changing in the skills element, I think.
The worst experiences I've had with girls hockey was playing against Empire, where some of the parents thought it was hilarious that instead of putting it in the goal, they would say put it in the hole, and then laugh about how cool it was to be talking about 11-year-old girls as if they were somehow being sexualized on the ice. That was, and they did it a couple times. I thought that was really classy, Empire. Good job. No, and I'm standing there just like going, oh my God, are these 5 year olds behind me, or are they just like almost mentally, you know, are they Forrest Gump? And that's what they were. They were, and Forrest Gump at least was, you know, good natured. So I don't even, I would [S2] Right. [S1] Say there were a couple of mouth breathers, less than that. Also had a really bad experience in Utah, strangely enough, the Utah Grizzlies. They were very pompous about their program, and they were not very helpful in supporting the girls. They were like, oh, we're the only girls program, so you can't do this and you shouldn't be doing that. I was like, oh my God, would you just, you know, get over yourselves and maybe start teaching them something? Really poor level of coaching that we experienced there. But we got out of there soon and very fast.
Well, that's
Utah good itself was very nice.
It's good for people to know that there's some really good coaching, and there's also some garbage coaching. And if there's,
oh my God, that was,
if you're seeing garbage coaching, there's a better place for you.
And we had such a garbage coach on the selects here in town. I mean, the kind of garbage coach that honestly you'd think to yourself, is there a way that this coach could get more garbage? And I was like, no. He's like, he's reached peak garbage. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, I didn't know a person could be that big of an asshat, but he pulled it off. And I was like, wow, good job, man. Good job. You know, you really did something I didn't think was possible with the English language and the human condition. Nicely done.
Right. And his name will be in the show notes as well as his contact.
Oh, so. Yeah. Contact information, show notes, all those things. So yeah, thank you for listening.
Hear some stories.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast, Girls Hockey Edition. I hope that we answered some of the questions for you that have girls out there. I hope you got an idea, a flavor for what the girls game can be, which is a beautiful thing. And also what the girls game, we want to keep it from being, which is a place where girls feel left out or marginalized or whatever you want to say about it. Just something where they don't feel like they're part of the game because, gosh, it's a great sport and we want them to all enjoy it. So. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.